Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'll tell you, when you got the playoffs to the north and the playoffs to the south, you've got it in hockey, you've got it in basketball. We have way too much to talk about to need invented for a catered to right now moment topic, like how breathlessly anticipating I should be the NFL schedule. Hey, I love football. I love football. My only problem with football today is that it's safer. You know, like, I want blood on the tracks. I am not here for player health. I'm not here for player protection. I'm here for savagery. And I say that without apology. I love football. But I'm totally cool, Gianna, with waiting another 55 freaking minutes to find out what the schedule will be when the schedule doesn't start. Let's see. It is April, May, June, July, August, September. We have 6 months.
Yeah.
When something doesn't start for 6 months, I can definitely wait one more hour to find out how the schedule will play out, and you can too. Got someone here on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line saying, Damon, I want to know the schedule so I can plan my Mexico trip. Flights will not fluctuate much in the next 55 minutes. You can just calm down. You'll be fine.
And we know that. We know that's in November because they announced that near Super Bowl. So go ahead, plan away.
Yes,
like
you can.
19th.
But this whole, like, oh my God, Mike Francesa leaked the entire 17-week Giants schedule this morning on WFAN. It was the greatest thing I've ever heard. Did you ever wait in line for an iPhone?
No.
Me neither. You want to know why? Because what everyone is waiting for in line right now will be readily available and easy to purchase tomorrow. Like, I'm totally cool with not being first in the line of this type of knowledge. It's not breaking news. It's an announced schedule. But this is how great the NFL is when it comes to just PR and having everyone completely wrapped around their pinky.
Oh, yeah.
They have turned their release of the schedule into a bona fide media frenzy and anticipated event. We don't sit around teeth chattering, frothing at the mouth for anybody's regular season schedule but football. It's crazy. They really do have a big fish on the hook, and that fish is us. It really is. We're just sitting there just gnawing on the hook. There's not even a worm on there for us. We're just like, hey, we'll take the hook. We're cool with it.
Name that fish.
We just cannot get enough of football. Of course, the draft is coming up, and leave it to the Raiders. Leave it to the Raiders to send the worst mixed message possible when everything now is supposed to be like, hey, we're still the Oakland Raiders until we're not. It's business as usual until things get unusual, which could take 3 years from now, and blah, 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 blah. Today, it was revealed that the Raiders are going to hold their draft day event at the Welcome to Las Vegas sign on Saturday, April 29th of 2017. Not 2019, not 2020. This year, they're going to go ahead and hold their draft day event in Las Vegas, even though that player will be coming to Oakland to play its rookie season games.
That's a bummer.
Not only is it a bummer, it just goes to show you, really, even though, you know, like, everyone's talking about, like, hey, Mark Davis smarter than everyone thought he was. Mark Bedain, you know, they got what everyone said would be impossible to get. They got a green light to move to a new stadium in Vegas. They're smarter than we thought. And then you get a story like this to prove that, nah, same old, terrible decision. So everything that the Raiders are going about is the message that they want to land with their fan base is simply, don't hold it against the players. This is all on Mark. Oh, isn't Mark noble for taking the bullet for his home team? Oh, my God. You're a sycophant, if that's the way you think about it. And you look at what they're just doing to these players. So you're telling me that I'm not supposed to take it out on the players. And you know what? I totally understand that. It's none of their fault. Certainly, none of the players who were in college when all this was happening have anything to do with why the Raiders are relocating. But what you're going to do is take these players, and in their very first introduction to Raider Nation, you're going to put them in a position to be completely unlikable and unrelatable by framing them in the context of Las Vegas. You are taking a rookie and putting that rookie in the worst PR position that rookie's ever going to be in within the first 5 minutes of their career. God forbid a rookie who's been excited to be drafted tweet, "Can't wait to see you, Vegas."
God, I know.
The Raider fans are going to shoot arrows in that guy. Have you seen Raider fans on Twitter?
It's not exactly the most level head group out there.
And they are going to overreact all the time. We got people who are angry that Derek Carr, who's established himself as a great quarterback, a super leader, a guy you would want to marry your daughter, your mother, your cousin, Derek Carr is welcome at any table except some Raiders fans' table because he talked about what a real Raider fan is. And now all of a sudden, if people are prepared to get mad at Derek Carr for stepping in it verbally with all that he's proven, how about the guy who hasn't played it down for you and is like, "Can't wait to see you, Vegas. Hashtag Viva Loss." Yeah, that guy's going to get killed. Absolutely killed on social media. So welcome to football. Your team is going to thrust you into the worst social media position you're ever going to be in. 5 minutes into your career. Welcome to the Raiders. Tone is set.
It's like you're stuck, you know? It sucks for Raider fans. They're done. I mean, they're ready to go. They're ready for Vegas. It's like, goodbye, Oakland. It's happened. It's just... But let's just stay a little longer because we need you just a bit. Let me use you just a little bit more.
This whole thing. I mean, here's the 2017 Oakland Raiders are going to feel like a pity, you know what? A pity screw. Even though we all know that how about this? The only reason why they're not moving immediately is because they haven't built it yet. That's it. There's no like, "We want to give you a couple more years. We love you. Don't ever forget that." They're not here because they want to be. They're here because they have to be. That's it. That's all. They want out as fast as humanly possible to the point where they're going to introduce rookies who will play in Oakland their rookie year under the brand of Las Vegas. There is no more overused word in sports talk radio right now than the word optics. Optics is buzzword du jour among radio hosts to the point where I hate it. One of the things, you know, again, the phrase, "What's your take? Jana, in the 4 years that we've been working together, have you ever heard me say, "What's your take?"
No,
because I don't want to be the person saying the phrase that every other person who does what I do says. To ask a question or bring up a topic.
You never say, you never say, "How do you feel?"
No.
That doesn't happen.
By the way, I like how you did the impression, though.
"How do you feel when the baseball gets hit with a baseball bat?"
What just a bad move by the Raiders. You know, for a team that can't wait to get out of here, you sure as hell can't get out of your own way. Damien, your streaming apps are garbage. Thank you. Okay. What you need to do is re-download the app. That's the best place to start because there was an update. So maybe that's why it's not clicking for you. Re-download the app. I'm going to tell you, I think the new app is better. It's improved. So hopefully just reload the app, re-download it, and you'll be
good
happy
to go.
Camper.
Yeah, you'll like it much better.
Happy camper. Thank you for the constructive feedback. Not, "Is there anything I can do to improve this app performance? It's just, it's garbage." Well, thank you. 888-957-9570. Sharks got a massive one tonight. Very interesting game. If you told me that they got shut out, I'd believe you. If you told me that they're going to win by 5 goals tonight, I'd believe you. I have no idea what to expect. The NBA playoffs were obviously dominated by the Warriors last night when they didn't even have Kevin Durant. We are just tipping off right now in Indianapolis. Cleveland and the Pacers, they're underway. Game 3 series there, Cleveland up 2-0. A lot of people are looking at what Russell Westbrook did last night. He was equally historic, awesome, and the reason why the Thunder lost the game, all in the same game. On fire to shot him out of the game in the fourth quarter. Guy's an enigma. He really is. I don't even know what I'm looking at when I see him sometimes. He's phenomenal, but he's also a huge headache, I think, to play with. David Force, general manager of the Oakland A's, is going to join me in about 20 minutes from here. It's been an interesting week for the A's. They've gotten better on the field, but of course, two big injury concerns. There's always a reason why we can't have nice things. And by the way, just have to say this, you know, on a personal note, there was a terrorist attack, apparently, on the Champs-Élysées in Paris today.
France, yeah.
Looks like a police officer was shot there. And they closed down the entire Champs-Élysées, which is a significant stretch of road, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that specifically because exactly, Gianna, 1 year ago today, Jillian and I were walking from the Louvre all the way down to the Arc de Triomphe on the Champs-Élysées.
No way. Wow.
1 year ago today was the last day I was officially like a single guy. I had a girlfriend. Her name was Jillian, but she wasn't my fiance until about this time. Tomorrow.
That's right, because you proposed to her in Paris.
In Paris. But yeah. Today was the last day we were dating.
Right.
And then tomorrow, 1 year ago, we went ahead and got engaged. And then Prince died. And that's why we can't have nice things.
Do you just remember all of this, or is this just, did you write this down? Is that on a calendar somewhere? Or you just kind of remember all that?
Oh, she remembers that.
She's
the woman in this relationship.
You.
Yes.
That was pretty good.
How about this? We haven't even been married a year, and she's got two anniversaries that she's all about celebrating, the day we got engaged and the day we got married.
So you celebrate tomorrow.
I told her she gets tomorrow once, and then that's it. Oh. We're going to celebrate one anniversary a year, not two.
Well, then if she can't have the day you got engaged, she could have the day you met as an anniversary.
No, see, she tries to pull that nonsense, too.
Include that into the mix.
She wants a first date anniversary, she wants a got engaged anniversary, and then she wants a day we got married anniversary. Meanwhile, I'm like, well, can we just get out of the first time we had sex anniversary? Like, that's the day that's really important. That's when I knew things were going to be all right.
How are you going to celebrate that one?
Carefully.
My husband was smart. He proposed pretty much the day we met.
Smart.
Yeah, so.
Very, very smart.
Yeah, within 24 hours. So he's like, look.
But like, why didn't you actually get engaged on 4/20?
I know.
Because I'd set everything up for 4/21. That's how in love I was. I wasn't even thinking about making weed jokes. Wait, did I say was? I mean am. That's how in love I am. Excuse me. She's in Toronto. She can't even hear me. Eh? You know what? Jillian deserves a Canadian alphabet. Can she have one, too, since she's traveling up in Toronto for work this week? Go ahead and give it to her. If you would, please. Hey, Anne Murray, can we get...
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, B, D, Q, R, S, T, U, friend, W, X, and...
Fantastic. Yeah, I'll tell you, man, Paris is amazing.
It's beautiful.
God, it really is. No city I've ever been to quite lived up to the word of mouth like Paris, mm-hmm. except for Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas is
freaking great, too. 888-957-9570. I got Gene in Oakland. He wants to talk about JaVale Nation. No? Oh, well, then he'll just have to hashtag it. How about Dre in Central California? What's up, Dre? Dre,
hey,
you with me? Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, that was a heck of a game last night, the way the center showed up. I know you keep saying that Zaza is going to be gone after this year. If he is, he is. But he's been steady. I think he's been underrated. I mean, he's not lighting the world on fire.
Here's the thing. I like Zaza when he's not a turnover waiting to happen and he actually makes a couple layups. And he did that last night. You know, he did. It was one of his better games we've seen him play just in terms of help a team off to a quick start impact. He was good last night. I don't take back my season evaluation of him. But he was good last night. I thought JaVale was even better.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. His hands are made of stone. You're right about McGee. I hope he does take the discount, gives the team a discount, because it's, you know, he's made big money before. Who am I to take money out of somebody's pocket? But when you look back at your career, I would think you'd like to see 3, 4, 5 rings. The Warriors are that good, and it could be that much better with him.
I agree. And, you know, the debate today raging again, because the Warriors look good in a game that Kevin Durant didn't play in, is the whole, do you need Kevin Durant? And here's the deal. The answer is no, they don't need Kevin Durant. But here's what Kevin Durant being on the Golden State Warriors does for the Warriors. Number one, Kevin Durant. That's the first thing Kevin Durant does for the Warriors. He's Kevin Durant. The second thing he is he isn't Kevin Durant on another team that might be in your way. Look, here's the deal. The Warriors are so good, there are maybe 4 players on the planet that can get in their way. It's LeBron James. It's LeBron James. Never mind, there's one. Maybe Kawhi. Maybe Kawhi, but the San Antonio Spurs are always worth more than the sum of any one individual part. You know, so it isn't individually Kawhi, even though Kawhi is individually the Spurs' best player, but it's always a team effort that beats you. LeBron can put the world on his back and beat you. Saw it last year. This is Gene in Oakland. Gene, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Damon. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, we got right back to you, man.
Yeah, sorry. Thanks. Anyways, about 3 or 4 months ago, you probably don't remember, but I called in about JaVale when he was filling in for Zaza. I was all excited, maybe too excited. I said they probably ought to try to find a way to keep him, because if he kept improving, he'd probably command $12 to $14 million a year. That may still be too much to expect. But I'd be surprised if he gets less than 8 to 10, which is going to be far more than we're going to be able to afford, because we're going to lock down the 5. I feel pretty confident about that based on what Kevin Durant said last week, because he's probably going to take $4 million less, which will allow us to sign Iggy.
I'll tell you what, if he really does that, I mean, this guy's so serious about winning multiple titles. It would be almost one of the biggest wins of the year if Kevin Durant was like, you know what, I'll leave a little bit more on the table to keep this team around me. And I do think he's wired to do that, but I got to officially see it before I believe it. $4 million doesn't sound like a lot of money to Kevin Durant, but it's also what you get paid is how much you feel you're respected in some instances. I think he's matured beyond that. I know that they're players who would never settle for less than the most. But this guy's been banking huge paychecks from the day he stepped in the league. And if you really look at Kevin Durant, what his legacy needs, it's not going to be more money. It's going to be more titles, more competition, more excellence. And the single greatest thing I have ever seen is this Warriors team ability to disregard ego and personal branding in the name of being the best basketball team on the court. It's so impressive. Do you know how hard it is to be unselfish on a basketball court when you know you're one of the best in the world out there? It's a game that is built to make sure your best players on the ball, making decisions. So what happens when you have 4 best players? That's definitely 2 too many. That's what people said about the Miami Heat when they came together as a super team. Like, oh, too many cooks in the kitchen. But if these chefs can learn how to get along, oh my God, what a meal. And right now, no one is serving a tastier meal than the Golden State Warriors. It's muy delicioso.
Very good.
And then you got, Gianna, you know, just guys that if you really are going to keep winning, you know what the Warriors need? They need young, I don't want to say poorly paid players, but young first contract players on their first contract contributing. And that's what Patrick McCaw did last night. If throughout this regular season you started doubting Patrick McCaw, and I got in that boat for a week or two, I did. Patrick McCaw was either a wear beige and blend or disappear entirely player all year. I couldn't think of what the first thing would have been on the Patrick McCaw highlight reel until last night. And the very thing that I put on the Patrick McCaw highlight reel is him staying in front of Dame Lillard, who just the night before was on his way to a huge scoring output. Patrick McCaw was great defensively last night.
You know, stopping those two players, I think that's the key to the game. If those guys are not scoring, you know, 20-plus points, you can clearly see, you know, there's not much that Portland can do with us. So it was great. Our defensive intensity the entire game was amazing.
Ian Clark, who plays well when he sees a Blazers uniform, also played well last night. He used to be the young guy in this team. Remember that? Well, now that young guy's Patrick McCaw, and Ian Clark was impressed with what he saw out of him last night.
He's been like that, you know, since the beginning of the year. He's a very poised player, a very smart player that people get him credit for. And he's not afraid of the big moment. He wants to be out there. He wants to play. He wants to compete. And he does a good job.
Game 3, Saturday, up in Portland. Dame Lillard, not willing to say it's a must win, but he knows.
We got to have this one. You know, you don't want to go home and drop this one. And then, you know, even if you do win a game 4, you're coming back here, you know, looking at elimination. So, like I said, they took care of their home floor. We play really well on our home floor. And we know that we're capable of beating them. So, you know, going forward, we want to go and get game 3. And that's all we can focus on right now.
From the text line, hey, Damon, I might be a little late to the party, but have you and Gianna both seen the new Game of Zones episode on Bleacher Report? Yeah, I forwarded that bad boy, retweeted it on my timeline today. It's outstanding. It really is. I guess they've done a 6-part series here?
Right, and this is just episode 1.
This is episode 1, and I guess they're going to go through the story of the season. And since the biggest story coming into this season was the recruitment of Kevin Durant, this whole thing is Kevin Durant going around the NBA's land of Westeros, right, if you will, and interviewing with the Wizards, the Spurs, the Warriors, and a couple of other teams. And it's well done, and it's really, really,
it's really
funny,
good,
as always. I mean, who was ever doing that over there equally loves the NBA and Game of Thrones as much as we do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic. And since huge follow-up question to whenever we bring on Game of Thrones. I know it's coming. I can feel somebody texting it to us right now or about to ask on Twitter. Yes, post-Game of Thrones returns the Monday after the season debut of Game of Thrones. What, in a month or two?
About just over a month and a half, I guess, yeah.
Nice!
I can't wait.
July 16th. Thank you very much. Way to be on it, Albie. David Forst has had a heck of a week. On the field, the A's have been better. They really broke out there, if I can quote Ken Korak, hitting shoes to take 2 out of 3 against the Texas Rangers. Tonight, they're going to put on their hitting shoes. Seattle's coming to town. Guess what? They miss King Felix again. This is definitely the deepest they've ever gone into a season without facing Felix at least twice already into a year. They haven't even seen him once yet. That's a break right there. Unfortunately, on the injury front, it's not been a good week of breaks for the A's. And we're going to talk about all of that with David Forst next.
Chris, it's a deep drive into right center. Gomez going back in the alley. He will turn and watch it fly. And number 7 this year for Chris Davis. And the A's take a 6-1 lead. Here's a drive to left center by Pinder up the alley. This headed for the wall, and it is gone. A line drive laser home run just to the right of the 388 mark in left center field by Chad Pinder. And the A's have taken a 7-1 lead.
Swung on and launched the deep right. There's a capper. Yonder Alonso has hit his second home run of the year. It's 9-1 Oakland. Up, over, and out past the out-of-town scoreboard. The A's have hit 3 long balls today.
Seattle Mariners are in town to take on the Oakland A's. And guess what? They're missing King Felix again. That's probably good news. A's woke their bats up a little bit in the series finale against the Texas Rangers. Kind of hammered them, actually, to take 2 out of 3 from Texas. And that should bring us to a, well, good mood in David Forst, even though he's got some injury problems that have crept up on him. We'll get to all those in a second. But meanwhile, David, winning, hitting, that's good, right?
Yeah, it's been a nice couple of days. We had a tough stretch there against Houston and the first day against Texas, but the guys bounced back nicely the last 2 days, and they got their hands full with James Paxton tonight. But like you said, missing Felix is not something that happens to us frequently.
Yeah, anything that isn't the Kings got to sound better. It really does. Paxton might be a guy who hasn't allowed a run in 3 starts so far this season, but he is pretty darn good, no doubt about it. The Mariners come to town. You're not going to be. They're not going to be facing Kendall Graveman. No one's going to be dealing with Marcus Semien for a while, other than a couple of good wins here. You had a couple of big injuries that you're dealing with.
Yeah, we did, unfortunately. And it's funny, you know, when you and I talked last week, I mentioned how nice it was not to have to think about player moves every night. And then, of course, the baseball gods heard me. And the next 2 days, we have a couple guys go down. But, you know, Kendall got a little shoulder strain. We're expecting him to throw a side tomorrow, and hopefully that'll tell us that he's coming back here real soon. News is not as good with Marcus, obviously, and he's going to be out for an extended time. It just was something he tried to play through at the end of the spring, and into the season, it finally bit him.
How concerned do you get about wrist injuries for a hitter? I mean, there's so much power and bat speed generated right there. It seems like even if the surgery were a success, to expect him to have last season's powers going to be tough to do this year now.
Yeah, it's something that we always think about with power hitters, particularly, and you know, Matt Chapman in the minor leagues has it too right now. So we're we'll see how both guys come back. But you know, Marcus went ahead with the surgery, got the pin put in there, and that was the most aggressive thing to do so that he can come back quickly rather than just kind of wait this thing out. So we're optimistic that when he does he does make it back, he'll be himself.
David Forrest, A's general manager, here on 95.7 The Game. We cannot have a conversation without talking about Chris Davis. Right now, he's leading the major leagues with 7 home runs. He's hitting .321. I mean, he's got MVP numbers at this, what are we, at the 15-game mark or whatever it is? So,
yeah.
You know, long way to go. But, man, what a great start for this guy.
Yeah, it's been great, particularly when you look at how he started last year. And for him to come out and do what he's doing, I know the Rangers would like to not see him anytime soon because he absolutely kills them. But, no, we've relied on Chris a lot in the middle of that lineup. And obviously the last couple of days that the offensive outburst was centered around him. And hopefully Ryan Healy's picking up a little bit. And we swung the bats nicely yesterday. It'd be nice to see everybody jump on Chris's back.
How's Sonny Gray doing?
Sonny's doing really well. He is coming off a good performance down in extended. He threw 3 innings, got up to 45 pitches, and the people of Stockton will get to see him in an asparagus uniform Saturday night, hopefully throwing 4 or 5 innings.
Is the plural of asparagus asparagi, or is that the singular?
I don't know. Somewhere in the Central Valley, they probably know the answer to that question, but I do know Sonny's going to look good in that green on Saturday.
Do they come in bushels or barrels?
These are not my department, Damon. You're asking me questions that I wasn't brought here to answer.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Look, let's ask you a couple questions you're going to totally hate then, shall we?
Sure. Let's move on then.
Hey, so if Semien's down and Barreto's tearing it up, I mean, I know it's tough to pick a time to start a major league clock, especially when you're still budget conscious. You don't want anyone running into Super 2, blah, blah, blah. But no Barreto here?
No, and this is not about any of that stuff. This is about the kid's development. And, when Marcus went down the other day, I said, he's got 59 at-bats in AAA. You know, that was 2 days ago, so now he's got 65 or so. But, you know, it's only fair to these guys to let them learn what they need in the minor leagues, because when they come up here, you want them to stay and you want them to succeed. And Franklin's doing a nice job. He's still learning some things about playing second base and shortstop, and there's no doubt in anybody's mind he's going to be a big leaguer. It just isn't going to be today.
Tell us a little bit about Puck and Chapman, too. Those are 2 minor leaguers all A's fans want news on.
Yeah, so Matt's on his way back. He came out last week with a wrist injury, but started swinging the bat again, and hopefully we'll start getting in games this weekend. So we dodged a little bullet on that one. And AJ just pitched great in Stockton. He's up to, 20 punch-outs now in 12 innings, only 3 walks. 0.75 ERA, and done everything we've expected, making that big jump to high A right out of the draft. So He'll be fun to watch as the season goes along.
David, since we're on the theme of the kids, you got a local kid coming into town tonight with the Mariners out in right field, Mitch Haniger. Right now, he might be an early front runner for Rookie of the Year, Smile Champo says, but he's from Mitty High. He's from Santa Clara. Was he on your radar as a college prospect?
Yeah, you know, he was, and I was kind of one that got away. We asked the Diamondbacks about him when he was there, and couldn't make the deal. And when I saw that Seattle figured out a way to get him, I knew he might come back to bite us. But he's off to a great start, and we're going to have to pitch him carefully this weekend.
Less than 2 months away from the MLB draft, this has got to be one of your busiest times of the year here, David. Tell us about what you're doing, the work that you do in May and early June scouting to get ready for it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun for me this time of year. I love going out and seeing high school and college players. It's one of the best parts of the job. And Eric Kubota and his scouting staff has, you know, been doing it for months already, and we're trying to pare that list down to who the first round options are. So I'll get out and see a bunch of guys. And again, the most fun thing about this job is when you see a player as an amateur, watch him come through minor leagues and see him succeed in the big leagues. So everybody always gets excited come June for that draft.
David, always appreciate your time, man. I know you're a really busy guy today, so thanks for joining us as always. And let's look good against the Mariners, man. Keep this good feeling at home going.
I hope so, yeah. I want to make sure every time we talk we're coming off a couple of wins like we have the past few weeks. So let's try and keep it up.
Keep it up. Why mess with a streak, right?
Yeah. All right, Damon. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you, too. David Forrest, A's general manager here on 95.7 The Game. And like I'm kidding, man. They are absolutely off to a nice start. Even if you're not satisfied with everything you've seen on the field, you'd have to admit that the feeling around the A's is just so much different this year. And that is some young, interesting players. It's Dave Cavill. It's taking more pride in serving your customers better, which the A's are officially doing this year. So what we would like to do is offer you a chance to be part of this good feeling start to the season, with the caveat is that if you were to win these tickets, you'd have to come to the station and pick them up yourselves tomorrow between the hours of 9 to 5. And by the way, if you're wondering where our station is, we're right across from the W Hotel in San Francisco.
Right
across the street, mm-hmm, in the Fogo de Chao building, as I like to call it. Used to be known as the Chevy's building.
No.
But now it's the Fogo de Chao building. Caller number 5. I got a family 4-pack with VIP parking in the 14th row, by the way. These are great, great tickets. Caller number 5, first person. Caller number 5. You got to come pick the tickets up in person tomorrow, though. So you got to be able to do that. You got to be able to come to our station and pick up these tickets. We can't get them over to Will Call for you. You're going to have to pick them up in downtown San Francisco tomorrow. But I've got a family 4-pack, great tickets, 14th row with VIP parking for tomorrow night. Caller number 5, 888-957-9570. Good luck to you. We'll let you know who the winner is next and talk a little bit about Giants and Rockies getting underway. We're always happy to do ticket giveaways. My great-grandmother, Gianna, loved game shows.
Did she?
Any game show, because she just liked to watch people win.
Oh, that's nice.
I feel the same way. I love when people win anything. I'm thrilled for anyone who wins anything. Congratulations to Gene in Oakland, a regular caller, who was caller number 5 and can swing on by tomorrow to pick up that family 4-pack. You got great tickets to the game tomorrow night. Gene, congratulations, and thank you very much for listening. Sharks, big game tonight. Cannot wait to get home. Cannot wait to get on my couch and just take this one in, because if we can accuse the Warriors of sometimes being a little predictable, the Sharks, they're hardly predictable. They really are hardly predictable. So, by the way, forgot to tell you that all of our conversations with David Forrest are brought to us by the Premier Kia of Newark, online at premierkiaofnewark.com. Thanks so much for bringing us all up to date with David Forrest. So, Gianna, when I was
a young wee lad.
No, it's not even a young wee lad. It's not even a young wee lad situation.
Young lad, yeah.
When I was when I was in college, It was a different time. You know, we're talking about mid-90s. I was in college from like 93 to 97.
Okay.
You know? I was in a fraternity. It was the fraternity that wasn't a big frat. I know that all frats try to say that, but most frats get very like, oh, we're a fraternity. Excuse us. Well, we weren't that kind of a fraternity. We didn't take ourselves seriously. We were there to party, and we were there to meet girls, and we also had some really good fundraisers in the house, and we were really good at charity. We were really good at throwing a party with a great band. You know, we were there to have fun and do the bare minimum of, you know, academic requirements. We weren't trying to stand out. We didn't want to be the cool kids. We didn't want to be the yuppies. We didn't want to be the jocks. We were very inclusive. Very inclusive. I'm going to tell you, you didn't see a lot of fraternal diversity at Indiana in the early to mid-90s, but we were absolutely diverse. We had different colors, creeds, religions, backgrounds in our fraternity, and the reason why I think we had so much mass appeal is because we were just kind of a fun, cool group of guys.
That's good.
We had a fun time. We really did. We didn't take ourselves too seriously. We're trying to be the best house on campus or date the hottest girls or anything. Like, it was just, we were there to have fun.
And you were enjoying it.
Really had a good time. One of the things that we did, and when we were doing it, no one even thought of this being an inappropriate thing to do or an insulting thing to do. But looking at it through the prism of 2017, our entire fraternity would have been shut down for this. We used to have a party every year called Tacos and Tequila.
Okay.
Right? And a tacos and tequila, you know, if you had a sombrero, you wore it. If you had a poncho, you wore it. If you had a good, like, bandito mustache in your costume box, you wore it. If you had, pistols, you brought them. And we would serve, like, 1,000 crunchy tacos from Taco Bell. We would buy the cheapest bottle of tequila a whole bunch of kids in college could afford, and we would have, you know, cases of it. And it would just be a big, fun party. We'd play a ton of Los Lobos, and we would play, just all kinds. It was fun.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
So if you did that now, you would be crucified. Do you remember you'd be accused of cultural misappropriation.
Sure.
You know, how dare you, while you're having a party with a Mexican theme, allow a white person of all people to wear the poncho that they got as a souvenir in Mexico to wear to these types of things. But never mind. Never mind. So I would have laughed you out of the room if you said that you were offended by that back in the day. But the modern, more culturally sensitive Damon Bruce will even tell you in retrospect that maybe wasn't the best party we could have thrown, right? We could have done a little bit better. But back then it wasn't offensive. I understand it is now, and I guarantee you that the house doesn't have that party anymore.
Oh, probably not.
I can guarantee you you're not allowed to have fun like that anymore on a college campus because you've never met a bigger group of easier to piss off nincompoops in your life than not just kids, but especially white college girls.
Okay.
And I can prove it to you again. This is absolutely ridiculous. And by the way, if you're waiting for NFL schedule, so are we. It's going to come up at 5 o'clock. We are going to talk to Steve Kerr, though, at 5 o'clock. While we're having that conversation live at 5 with Coach Kerr, I'm sure Albie will be printing me Niner and Raider schedules, and we will go over them as soon as we're done talking with Steve Kerr. A fraternity at American University, and I saw this on brobible.com, was forced to cancel a fundraiser for military veterans because heads of the school believed that the name of the event could be appropriating culture.
Culture, culture, culture.
Sigma Alpha Mu, Sammy's, organized the fundraiser for Armor Down, an organization that helps reintegrate military veterans back into society and provide assistance for vets with mental health problems.
It's a very good cause.
It's a fantastic cause, certainly worthy of your charitable efforts and attending that sort of thing. It's a great, 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 great cause. And so, looking to appeal to college-age kids, we're talking 17 through 21, 22 years old.
Right.
They decided to go with a little theme. They wanted some sort of an athletic theme. And since all of the sport, you know, there was another fraternity already doing a basketball tournament. Another fraternity was already doing a bowling tournament. Another fraternity was already doing for their charity a softball tournament. Another team was doing a bike ride. Another team was doing a golf outing. They were running out of a unique sporting event, so they decided to have a badminton tournament.
You know, young rich. You know, so we ain't really never had no old money.
I believe we have the radio edit version of this. I certainly hope we do. Migos, the kids love it.
Raindrops, drop top.
I'm
smoking, no cooking, the hot box.
Got to be totally honest with you. I like rap. This doesn't do a lot for me. I understand why the kids might like it, though. And if you ask me, what is the single best thing you could name your badminton tournament in 2017 to appeal to 18 to 22-year-olds? I would come up with, I think, too, if you gave me an awful lot of time to think about it, what if we call it Badminton and Bougie? This is Bad and Bougie by Migos. So, of course, the assistant director of fraternity and sorority life, Colleen Gerker, who does sound like a white, no-fun mush girl all day long, Colleen Gerker emailed the fraternity and said that the event's name could be perceived as cultural appropriation, and the college demanded they cancel it. Because somebody sitting in their collegiate safe space might be offended by what is nothing more than a play on words. Are you telling me that white kids aren't allowed to like Migos? Where's the cultural misappropriation? Our tacos and tequila party? I see the blurred lines of cultural misappropriation. I admitted to it before I brought this story to you. This is called wordplay.
Yeah,
Bad and Bougie being turned into badminton and bougie. All I can tell you, Miss Gerker, is if that offends you, you ain't going to make it out alive in the real world. You're not going to be able to leave your house in modern society if that is a cultural landmine that you're trying to avoid stepping in. So she thought the best thing to do would be canceling a charity event for veterans so other quick-to-be-triggered college kids wouldn't be offended. I don't know if we have another mother of all bombs, but if they dropped it on American University student section, I'd be fine with that. Like, are you kidding me?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but bougie to me means kind of like fancy, right?
No, it's actually the opposite of that.
Is it? I thought it meant for... okay, so I'm way behind.
It's kind of like a term of groups, basically. It's the middle class. Belonging characteristic of the middle class is the bourgeois.
Got it.
Yeah, and by the way, was anyone accusing Madonna of cultural misappropriation when she had the line, music makes the people come together, mix the bourgeoisie and the rebels? Remember that in the music video, which had porn stars in it?
I just think there's so many other things we can get upset about than silly names. Slap them on the wrist, well, maybe they can change it, but I mean, it's really...
Right. If you're going to get upset about this, you have identified yourself as someone who does not belong with the normals.
Right.
You are the most sitting in your room, desperate to appeal to diversity, that you're going to try to be the most correct white person in the world and cancel something over wordplay. This is why comedians don't play college campuses anymore.
Oh, wow. They couldn't. Can you imagine?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, people get offended incredibly easily these days.
You do not have the right to an unoffended life. Who the hell are you to think you do? I mean it. I don't know.
So did they have to cancel their event?
Yep, cancel it.
So they couldn't even just have the opportunity to rename it?
Nope.
And go with it to
canceled.
Raise money for a really, really great cause? That's too bad.
We were trying to plan a philanthropy event that incorporated sport. They perform much better on campus. This is the kid who was the president of the fraternity. Unfortunately, pretty much every sport we could think about was taken. Overall, we do not see how a single word, which loosely translates to high class or middle class, upper high class, should disqualify our event. We also do not understand how there is a culture associated with bougie, or how, even if there is, the event is completely unrelated to the name.
So who are we offending specifically here? The middle class?
The badminton posse?
Like...
Again, I don't think anyone was offended except for fraternity and sorority life assistant director Colleen Gerker, who is the turd in all parties punch bowls.
I look at it as like, come dress up fancy and go play badminton.
Yeah.
That's how I would interpret it.
Right. You should wear a white powdered wig and go do it. But that is the world we live in, and those are our future leaders. She's going to be someone's mother someday. God, that kid's going to suck too. Steve Kerr, he's the best. We love talking to him. I know a lot of people are waiting for an NFL schedule. Yeah, the season still doesn't start for another 6 months. So when we're done with Steve, we will hop into the schedule, and we will have guaranteed records presented to you. By the end of the 5 o'clock hour. It's all coming up here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.